Hello and welcome to Guardians of Language and Country. This series will showcase and discuss with rangers and traditional owners and custodians how traditional language and culture is kept alive. I'm Donnie Johannesson, a Gurang Gurang and Cubby Cubby man, and very shortly I will be joined by Kukan Yalanji's Alban Lyle. In far north Queensland, passionate people are keeping the language, stories and culture alive. And in this podcast, we're going to tell you how they're doing it. Alban Lyle is on country and he joins me now. First of all, Alban, explain to people who you are.
My name's Alban. I grew up in far north Queensland, mainly in the Mossman, Cooktown and Mareeba area. I'm a Kuku Yalanji descendant on my grandfather's side, and on my mother's side, I'm a Kuku Taipan descendant.
It's great that you're in the footprint of where we're going to be doing most of the podcast series, thinking of Cairns for people who know that area. Cairns, and then you're going to these locations 1 to 2 hours left, right and west. Mamu Nirima is the first place that we're going to as part of our series. What did you take away from this, going to that country?
Their country is very powerful and they have a strong history with it. They get a very strong sense of connection when they're out there. The Misty Mountains, that is a really thick, dense rainforest. Mamu Nirima people, they have like a database that they're working on. They're really strong in their language. All these organizations are sort of delving into technology and helping their community and hopefully uplift it and store it, because there's a few elders there that are still there and they can help put it online and stuff before they're gone.
And that's absolutely the main point there too, capturing these stories, keeping it online, keeping it on databases and keeping it for future generations. And Alden, the first one we're going to go to is Mamu Nirima in Innisfail. Explain to us what we're going to expect there.
Hopefully get out of the office and go into the Misty Mountains and up into the rainforest. Just really enjoy the scenery, but take it in and listen to their knowledge and their future plans for language and their country.
Let's have a listen to some of the Mamu elders now.
My name is Stephen Purcell. Within the organisation of the Mamu people, I'm an elder and also a custodian of many things. Our language, a lot of it's trying to be revitalised. Some, when they left or they were removed, I can say my father, my grandmother was still a fluent speaker up until she passed away, Grandma Emily. She'd always have it in the back of her mind, you know, she might say some word and you'd have to answer and then she'd tell you. But Dad, my father, he was taken away at a young age under the Preservation Act, and during that act, when they were at Palm Island, they weren't allowed to speak lingo. They weren't allowed to speak their language or even say what it was. He told me that he was better off, he could fluently speak Latin because they couldn't learn their own language, yet he understood what the old people talked about later on. Even sometimes when he'd mum, they'd never speak openly in front of us kids, but he still had that little bit of language in him. And what brings to mind, he was up in that rainforest in the early, late 40s, early 50s, and he came across a mob of old people that were still tribal walking about in that rainforest, and he could talk, bring them in and give them a feed, and they'd be gone the next day.
My name's Alf Joyce. I'm part of a Mamu elders, so a native title claimant that went through our native title, all our negotiations and that. Born here in Innisfail, lived here all my life, so it's home to me, you know. Very proud to be part of it, you know.
I was just talking about your shirt there, Gearwan. So that's your Aboriginal name?
Yeah, it means flame tree.
Flame tree. How did you learn language growing up?
Oh, just a few words here and there. You know, my dad didn't talk much language to us. I don't know whether it because they weren't allowed to speak it when they were coming up through school and when they were younger. It's only in the last, was it 2017, I think we'd done our first language workshop through the language group in Cairns. And just out of Dixon's language books, I mean, he got all the languages of our mob, like what they call the Juruba language, which is our mother language, for Najan, Mamu, Juru, Girumay, and there's a few difference in the language, you know, not a great deal, but I mean, some words like for mother, in one mob from our group, they say Yabu, and Borobaro mining, they say Yabun, and they put an end on there. And so, you know, if we're going to start learning language, which one do we learn? Do we learn all of them, or do we, you know, stick to one and work it that way? It's still a decision that we're making, you know.
What would you like to see in the future with the languages in this area?
Language should be embedded into everything that we do on country, you know, into our ranger group, into our office group. We should have up signs and everything, and we should be starting to take it into the schools and, you know, learn and teaching the kids some words. Start that way. And we got an elders group that goes into the school here and works with children there. It's more or less teaching them about their identity and their values and their actions and their attitude and the reality of it all. And we do that for two terms, and then we take them on country for a day and, you know, give them tucker and let them run wild.
And there's a real strong connection when they're out on country?
I think there is. You know, we often wonder what sort of role we're playing there and whether it's working or not. But you talk to some of the teachers there, they reckon it is. Yeah, it's working. We love doing it. And I think as an individual, you've got to do a lot of work yourself. I mean, we can have these groups, study groups, language groups that come together as a whole and yarn about it. But then I think you've got to do a lot of background work yourself and look at stuff, you know. So we're people from the land, and our language tells us that, you know. It's what's the name's our culture, well, and everything, you know. Strong language, strong community.
We've lost a lot of the elders that held that knowledge. So, you know, it's, we're at the stages where we're trying to, you know, do all the research and revitalize it again. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a journey and struggle and trying to find, because, you know, it's back in the old days, you know, our people, they weren't allowed to speak language or practice culture and customs. So, and if they did, they were either put in jail or murdered. So, yeah, we've lost a lot of our language and that. But yeah, it's like things like this, our ranger groups and stuff like that, that can really bring all that back.
What positions do they hold in the community, some of the people that you're speaking to as part of this?
Yeah, so we met with Frances Joyce. She's the head ranger in Mamu Nirma country for the Mamu Aboriginal Corporation. So they overlook their country in the Misty Mountains and all around Innisfail, that area. She has a lot of junior rangers with her. And, you know, they're out on their country a lot and they look after the country. So I think their goal is just to survey and preserve their country.
Yeah, we try and incorporate when we're out working and stuff, and, you know, using the language when we're out on country and just singing out in the rainforest and that. We have been in the process of trying to get another language program going again. We've had a lot of people come to us and wanting to use language in schools and put it in their curriculums and stuff, so that's really pushing us too as well to get it more going and getting our language program going again and sharing that knowledge.
That was Head Ranger Frances Joyce from the Mamu Aboriginal Corporation.
Nadia Warbara Mamu Bama Ginya Dige Nego Yabu Dige Bolei Bulgan Rumu Gabu Winidu Gabu Binda Bulgan Yu Munyan Dulgu Gambu Dige Nada wambai mamu bama dige, nada warbai digal bambun wulgu, nanda y digal nunini, madal walge nala nunini bala banja. Amwarabara, mamu bama, this country, my mother's country. Two big main rivers, plenty creeks, plenty waterfalls, big mountains, thick scrub, tableland country. I go walk about on mamu bama country, I speak with good healthy heart, call out good spirits, and throw away the no good spirit that followed. So yeah, my name is Dwayne Hodges. I'm a field ranger. I'm also the cultural heritage officer with the Mamu RNTBC Rangers. I'm a proud Mamu Warrabutta Bama man. and this is my country.
That language, how's it kept alive?
Well, language for me, it's helped me connect to country a lot deeper. Going out on country and practicing, learning the stories that they tell. So my role with the cultural heritage officer, I get to go out on country, map out cultural sites, find cultural artifacts and significance.
So Alban, what's the Cultural Heritage Project?
So the Cultural Heritage Project that the Mamu Rangers have is the Dungalai Collection. It's basically all their history, language and artifacts displayed in their main base of operations. So let's go to Ranger Dwayne Hodges to explain more about the Dungalai Collection.
So our Cultural Heritage Project, through the grants, was able to get these display cabinets to put on display the artifacts that we've catalogued through on-ground collection and repatriation from regional people. I was given the opportunity to name our display, and the name I gave it was Dungaloi. Dungaloi is the Mamu word for king fern. King fern is one of the oldest living plants in our rainforest, dating back to prehistoric days long before first contact. And just like the artifacts in our display, they were here before us and will be here long after we are gone.
Most of the artifacts and objects have Indigenous names, as Dwayne describes and pronounces for us here at the Mamu office.
Stone tool here was given to us by a member of the public. This is part of our repatriation project. This is a Woogera or a stone axe. Woogera, the Wangal and the Bidibul Bidibul, both are boomerangs. Wangal is the normal shaped boomerang. Bidibul Bidibul is the cross boomerang. This one here is our grooved grindstone or incised grindstone. We call it Mugge.
In that area, we have Najanji. We have Jirrbal people. We have Mamo people. My country is part of it, is up in the highlands, or what we call Gumbel, Tablelands, which incorporate our dendroglyphs, the scarred trees. How I interact with the younger generation has actually been with them on country. You teach them what to look for when they go searching in the rainforest for artifacts and trees and, you know, special sites. Like I said, the dendroglyphs play an important part.
So Innisfail, like this region, like, and what your language is called for
our language is a slight variation of our Mamu and Yirrima. So we go by Dulgubara. Ours has a slight different pronunciation on words. Also variant to that would be our Jalna language, the mother-in-law tongue, which enabled us all to communicate. And like I was saying, we're all mixed here. If we went back to the early days of our history in Innisfail, there was quite a few pre-European contact. They were all like different mob. Najanti was here. Juru people were here. You know, so they've all got a different one, like Nachan is Najanji, but we have an upper and a lower Nachan. You know, Warabar, Wari language, they were people of the gorge, but we still could communicate because of their marriage or where they're coming together on the ceremony grounds. You've got to remember that when they had a big gathering, it was everybody. There was a lot of people there. So for that to happen, they would all have had a common language that they could speak to one another. And the main one, the Nyalna language, was for communicating with the mother-in-law tongue.
So the language we're talking about today is Mamu Nyirrima?
Nyirrima. I'll tell you the English. Who is this? Wanyuginya. All right, that is, who is this? Ginyan Yibi, this is a woman. Minyabai, what is that? Balanguda is a dog. Guda in our language is dog, dingo, wild dog. Okay, how many fish? Menyanyigi iguya, gabu, there's a few. So we have big feet. Wanyu Ginyan Yibi, who is this woman? Ginyan Yabu Yagu, this is my mum. Midya House, whose house is this? Yagu Nyangiju Balamidya, my grandfather's house.
Speaking to them, what's the biggest issue they're facing to capture and keep language?
Just adjusting to technology, learning, you know, these things, because a lot of them they're country people, you know, they're hands-on and they like to get out in country, but they're slowly increasing their skills. They're adding new skills to themselves, you know, operating drones and putting things into database and creating galleries and updating the language books, the historian books to newer technology, as simple as phones and apps and tablets, yeah.
I guess through technology, you know, we're able to utilise Google to an extent. Language being kept alive through a lot of signage being put around country and certain place names. You know, going out in country with the elders, learning the place names, the trees, the animals, spending time with family, discussing. We have language handbooks, manuscripts. With technology, we have a database. Words that we use in everyday, you know, they're put into those databases for Māori people to see. We're in the mix of trying to create apps and putting our language words into those apps and getting them out to schools and teaching the kids.
Again, here's Māori elder, Uncle Stephen Purcell.
We're reinvigorating it, you know.
Yep.
We've done seven or eight courses, months of doing language. And it was more about building the foundations to go back.
And what do we have at the moment? Do we have books or people still alive, or what do we have?
The resources are in our books, and also we still have people who are like the last lot of fluent speakers, you know. At some time it take them a little while to remember, but when they do, they'll sit there and think and then talk.
Because you showed me the book briefly, and there's a lot in there. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
What sort of categories does it cover, from animals to
whole lot, plant, rivers, animals, everything, stories, you know, myths, everything, creation stories through our place.
Junji, Bananu, Jana, Naja, Francis Joyce.
Well, thank you, Francis, for joining us Guardians of Language and Country podcast series. We look forward to sharing your story out there.
No, I appreciate it, and thanks for having us too.
The custodians, Alf Joyce and Stephen Purcell, or I should say Uncle Stephen Purcell, good men and very powerful in their language and culture, and they love to speak it. They grew up in a generation where you couldn't speak it, so they really love it, and they really love showing it and being on their country. And those are the people we dealt with, yeah, there on the country.
And that's a very good point, where you were saying that they didn't talk their language because it was one of those things that was not done at the time, for many, many reasons that I'm sure will shine through over this series, that trying to keep culture and language alive was a restrictive thing for some of the mobs in that far north Queensland area. So that's some great things that you were picking up there from these locations that you've gone to so far.
Yeah, definitely. Like Uncle Elf and Uncle Stephen Purcell told me, you know, like they learned bits and pieces around their family growing up, but you know, they weren't allowed to openly speak it. So for them to really, you know bits of it and read it, you know, some from their heart and some from the books is really strong. And like the next generation, one of the rangers there, Dwayne Hodges, he's really strong in language.
Māmu Nirima in Innisfail was the first location that we were going to. The second one will be Kukuyalanji, Mossman. That is your area, Alden. Tell us what to expect in that country when you go there.
Yeah, so the Jabalbina Aboriginal Corporation rangers will take us out onto Daintree country. It's called Wawu Dimbi. Open mountains and fields, rainforest country. But just to enjoy the country and let them speak the language and share it, this is going to be really good.
Thanks, Alden. That's so exciting. I'm looking forward to visiting your country in the next episode about Kukuyalanji and learning more about how they are keeping their culture and language alive. Don't forget to follow Guardians of Language and Country on the SBS audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. and share this episode with your mob, your friends, your country. That wraps up this episode in Mamu Nirima country and the great things that are happening there and the passionate people that are learning, teaching and leading the next generation as guardians of language and country. I'm Donny Johannesson. Catch you next time.